The Gemara tells us, Mishenichnes Adar Marbin Besimcha. It's a very appropriate topic to speak about right before Pesach.
Connected.
Oh, but the truth is, they're very connected. Purim and Pesach are very connected. We say Mishenichnes Adar Marbin Besimcha. We increase our simcha, we increase our joy as we go into Adar. And when does that joy stop increasing? So you probably think that's it. As soon as the Pesach cleaning starts, we start decreasing our joy. Is that? So when do we keep increasing? Until when? Until we come to the month of Av and then we decrease? We're schizophrenic. Either we're increasing or decreasing. Is there any level of a? Do we come to a plateau? Is there a level of a happy medium of besimcha? So Rashi tells us, and that Gemara in Tainus Chav Tes Amar Alav, Rashi tells us a little bit insight. Why Mishenichnes Adam Marben Besimcha? Because Yimei Nisim Heim Li Yisrael Hoyu Li Yisrael Purim UPesach. Because these were days of Nisim that Hashem did for Klal Yisrael, namely Purim and Pesach. So you see from Rashi, certainly the Simcha should go straight into the month of Nisan and the Yom Tov of Pesach. The famous Chazal that says, Benisa Nigalu, we were redeemed from Mitzrayim in the month of Nisan, and Benisa Dan Sidon Lehigol, the final redemption also will be in the month of Nisan. And that's why it comes this time of year, we are longing and hoping for the Geula, for the final redemption. And we'll try to find out tonight a little bit what it takes from understanding the Nisan that happened on Purim and on Pesach, and the correlation between the two of them, try to understand how to ensure to be a part of the final Geula, which will take place in Nisan. Certainly a connection between Purim and Pesach is that in both times there was a tzara for Klal Yisrael, and they had to get out of this terrible tzara, this terrible predicament that they were in. And an ace occurred, a Yeshua salvation came from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, one in the form of an ace nistar, a hidden miracle, and one in the form of an ace nigla, an open, clear, and overt miracle, and that was in Mitzrayim, Yetzias Mitzrayim, with the Eser Makos, following with Kriyas Yamsuf, etc. Another connection between the Nes of Purim and the Nes of Pesach is that there were people involved, chosen to be involved in this final salvation of each of those tzaras. In Purim, Mordechai and Esther were chosen, and in Pesach, the Nes of Pesach, Moshe and Aaron were sort of key players, if you will, in the Nes of Pesach. And something that the Vilna Gaon asks, a famous question that we've probably all heard by a Seder or two, is that we read the entire Haggadah, which is the Sibur Yetzias Mitzrayim. It's the retelling of the entire story of the Exodus, starting with the hardships, starting with the Genai, and then leading up to the Eser Makos, and leading up finally to the Geula, to going out of Mitzrayim, along with Kriyas Yamsuf. And there's something very blatantly missing in the Haggadah. What is that? The name of Moshe Rabbeinu. Moshe Rabbeinu is omitted from the Haggadah. Now the Baal Haggadah, the author of Haggadah, obviously had to have a very good reason why he left out the name of Moshe Rabbeinu. Because firstly, if you're telling about the Yetzias Mitzrayim, so certainly he played a key role in Yetzias Mitzrayim. That's number one. And that's what the Vilna Gaon asked. But my Rebbe, the Mashgiach Matisyo, added to this question. If you're the Baal Haggadah, and you're writing over the formula that people should say over, and parents should tell their children, and grandparents should tell their grandchildren. So part of that telling over is to have Hakaras HaTayv to those who did good to us, to have gratitude to those who helped us in the time of need, and that was Moshe Rabbeinu. It wasn't a simple job, he just came in and everything, just the red carpet was rolled out for him to come into the palace. No, that's not how it happened. Chazal tell us how it happened. He had to go with Mesiris Nefesh. He had to go through. There were lions at the beginning of the road to the palace, and there were people who wanted to hurt him. And he had to trust in Hashem every time. He went into Barak, time after time. So there was tremendous Mesiris Nefesh. And not to mention that there was tremendous negative comments from Bnei Yisrael when things failed, when the mission didn't go right the first time. And Moshe Rabbeinu stuck with it and trusted in Hashem, and he finally took us out of Mitzrayim. And yet, it is a clear omission of his name in the entire Haggadah. So the Vilna Gaon tells us that the reason for this is really that's what Moshe Rabbeinu wanted. Moshe Rabbeinu himself, in this experience of Yetzias Mitzrayim, even though he sort of played a key role, and he was on the giving end, he was on the part that you can call it, he was on the side of Hashem in the one performing the miracles, but yet he viewed himself and he expressed himself as if he's on the part of the Bnei Yisrael, as he's receiving all of these nisim no different than all of Klal Yisrael. And the Vilna Gaon understands this in the pasuk of when finally it was all over, when all of the nisim came to a climax at Kriyas Yamsuf, it says, Oz Yashir Moshe uVnei Yisrael. Why Moshe uVnei Yisrael? So Rashi says to tell us that Moshe is equal to all of Bnei Yisrael. The Vilna Gaon says to say that Moshe Rabbeinu sang the Shira at the Yamsuf as if he was one of Bnei Yisrael. Don't think that Moshe Rabbeinu was separate. No, Moshe Bnei Yisrael was all one, as if Moshe Rabbeinu, wow, this was a tremendous miracle that was done to us, even though he was the one performing it. And Moshe Rabbeinu did this to show, not to give the credit to him in the entire story of Yetzias Mitzrayim, but to give credit to only HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The Vilna Gaon says this in the part of Haggadah which we say, Vayetzienu Hashem Mitzrayim, Hashem tukas ad Mitzrayim. Lo yal yidei malach, v'lo yal yidei sarav, v'lo yal yidei shliach. There were no malachim involved, there were no seraphim involved, there was no shliach involved, alluding to Moshe Rabbeinu. And it wasn't through Moshe Rabbeinu. We make a mistake. We see Moshe's name coming up again and again. Moshe, 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 Aaron, Moshe, and Aaron. We think, oh, Moshe Rabbeinu helped us here. Moshe Rabbeinu saved us. It was not a malach. It was not a seraph. It was not even Moshe Rabbeinu. Ela HaKadosh Baruch Hu b'chvoidei uva'atzmai. It was God Himself, Hashem Himself. The Shekhinah Himself came to save us from Mitzrayim. And that's what we have to understand from the story of Mitzrayim. This is a very important concept. There's a Mishnah in Avos which is brought in Gemara that says, "Kol ha'omer davar b'shem omrei mevi geula la'olam." Someone says over something in the name of the one who said it, which seems only appropriate and proper to say something over in the name of one who said it. He brings geula, he will bring redemption to the world. And the Mishnah there cites a proof for this. Shenemar v'tomer Esther la'melech b'shem Mordechai, because Mordechai knew that they were plotting to kill Achashverosh. And he went and he told Esther, you better tell the king that they, Bigson and Seresh, are plotting against him. And she went and told the whole story. Not me, I have nothing to do with this. Mordechai, who sits at the gates of the palace, he told me this. Which again is only appropriate. It would be stealing someone's information or someone's credit to say it over in your own name when actually you don't deserve the credit. So we'll see the Maral actually explains this in a little bit of a deeper way. But in this, the first level of understanding of this Chazal, Kalaim Adavu B'Shem Ayim Mevi Geula La'ilam, person will bring Geula to the world if one says over things in the name of who said it. In other words, to give credit where credit is due. The simple understanding is that when finally the Geula will come from this Golus that we're in, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to see, and he sees now what's going to be then. And if he sees when the final Geula comes and we're saved and we're on our way back to Eretz Yisrael, a one-way ticket to Eretz Yisrael, and if he sees now that all the people are going to be talking, whether it's an eagle or whether it's a plane, whether it's El Al, if they're still in business, whichever airline we're going to be going, if he sees that all the people are going to be talking amongst each other, oh, it was this friend in the White House that helped us out, who was this person, who was this politician, who was this Askin who was involved. If he sees that we start pointing good fingers at all those who we think were involved in the final Geula, Hashem says, they missed the boat. They missed the boat. It's only Vayetzeinu Hashem Mitzrayim, lo yal yidei malach, v'lo yal yidei sarav, v'lo yal yidei shliach, ela HaKadosh Baruch Hu b'chvayde v'atzmai. That was the Geula then, and that will be the Geula now. And Hashem says, I can only bring Geula When people finally, when they Geula will come, they will all point, oh, it was Hashem who did it. And that takes work. That takes thinking about. That takes contemplation. You know what? Everything that happens to me in my life, I have to view as that way. I have to view as not the thank goodness for this person who saved me, or thank goodness for this thing that happened to me, but I always have to point the finger to HaKadosh Baruch Hu that Hashem has done this for me. He may have used other people to be involved here, and I have to thank them because of Amida HaKadosh HaTeva, but ultimately, I have to give all the credit to HaKadosh Baruch
Hu. But Esther pointed Mordechai.
In other words, in what happened. So the Maral, we'll see, the Maral explains that this just brought out that this was Amida in Esther. That in this case, since Mordechai was involved and therefore the king owed him a debt of gratitude, so we see this Mida was with Esther. And therefore, Mevi Geula La'olam, says the Maral, means Hashem will bring the Geula through that person. Not that if I say something over in the name of someone who said it, oh, Hashem says, okay, let's bring the Geula. No. But if Hashem sees this person has this Mida of saying something over and giving credit to where credit is due, then Hashem says this person could be involved in bringing the Geula. So Esther could be involved in saving the Jews at the time of Haman and the Purim story, because Hashem says, because she won't take any credit for it. When all the Jews say, oh, our Savior Esther, she's going to say, no, it wasn't me. I did nothing. HaKadosh Baruch Hu saved us. Hashem heard our tefillahs, and that's why it happened. And that's the way we have to understand the Mishnah. This is actually the concept of something as an aside, but something very pertinent to this concept. That's the whole concept of tefillah. Why we need to daven in the first place, if Hashem knows what I need, Hashem knows when I need it, Hashem knows better than I know when and why and what I need, and yet Hashem says, no, you have to ask for it. You have to daven for it, but more than that. More than just davening for something, Hashem expects us to daven for something very specific. For specific, someone is in need of a job, oh, Hashem, just save me, make everything good. It's not good enough. Hashem, I need a job because I need to parnasa for my family. Hashem, please find me the best job that's for me. Someone needs a shidduch. Hashem, make everything good this week, make everything good this month. It's not enough. Hashem, I need a shidduch, and this is what I'm asking for. We see this several places in the Torah itself. Why does Hashem make it that way? You know, the tefillah can get very long if we have a whole long list of things that we need from Hashem. But why does Hashem want it that way? Because Hashem wants tefillah for us to recognize that He's the one doing everything. So if we just generally ask, Hashem, this should be a good week, it should be a good day, and it turns out it's a good day, and it turns out it's a good week, will the person then say, oh, Hashem has answered my tefillahs? Probably not. But if the person says, I need this thing done, I need this salvation in this particular part of my life, and it happens, then that person will say, oh, I asked for this, and Hashem has answered my tefillahs, and Hashem has done it for me. So we have to be very specific. B'nai Yisrael are in the Midbar Parshas Chukas. The Torah tells us that they're being attacked by a nation. Who was this nation? It was Amalek. But they didn't know it was Amalek. Why not? Why did they just read the papers? What they see was Amalek. No, they didn't know it was Amalek. Why? Because Amalek changed their language and were talking as Canaanim to fool the B'nai Yisrael. Because they would talk as Canaanim. And B'nai Yisrael would say, who are these people? These are Canaanim. Hashem, please save us from the Canaanim. And Hashem wouldn't answer them. Because you're asking for Canaanim, but these are not Canaanim, these are Amalekim. I can't answer them. The only thing was that Jews are blessed with great smarts, and they noticed that their clothing was not that of Canaanim. God, you should cut the Amalek. Okay. They didn't change their clothing, they changed their language. They learned how to learn a new language, but their clothing, ooh, that's really part of them. They couldn't change that. And the Jews at the time said, they're dressed like Amalekim. They're talking like Canaanim. Hashem, im nasein titeines ha'am hazeh b'yadeinu. Whoever this is. Because when you don't know the specific ask, the specific request, then you can be general. Person doesn't know, but the person is very sick. Doesn't know what the best thing is. Should he get better and keep suffering? Should he remain alive? In such a situation, Then the person says, Hashem, whatever is best for the person. That's the specificity in such an example. Another case that the Torah itself brings, something very amazing. Yitzchak and Rivka, we know, did not have children for many years. And the Torah tells us that they davened. Vayetar Yitzchak l'neichach ishtai, Vayetar Yitzchak al-Hashem l'neichach ishtai ki akarihi, because she was barren. And at what age did Yitzchak finally have children? How old was he? These answers have to be on your fingertips.
You have to learn it first.
The Yitzchak ben Shishim Shana. Close. So is she 60 years old. So Rashi tells us the whole calculation. How do we know he's 60 years old? So Rashi says, Eser Shana Mishanah. So it was 10 years that had passed since when he got married. Achanas Bashleish Esrei Shana, because she was 3 when he came back from the Akedah, and that's when the Shidduch was taught, and that's when she came back. So he waited 10 years, because before that she wasn't able to have children. So he waited 10 years till she was Ruah L'Hayrayim. Then Va'eser Shanim, another 10 years. Tzafa V'himtin L'Kumesha Asa Aviv L'Sara. He saw his father. He followed his father's example. He waited 10 years before he took another wife. That's another 10 years. Kivan Shalini Sabra. After this amount of time, these last 10 years, Kivan Shalini Sabra, he saw she was not becoming pregnant. Yoda, he knew she akara. He knew now she was barren. V'hispalel aleha, so he davened for her. So my Rebbe asked, but before that he didn't daven. He got married. He didn't start davening. They should have bisaychet the children. What is every chassan swaying under the chuppah doing? I sure hope that's what he's doing. So he didn't daven before that. 10 years go by. Yitzchak, it dawns upon him. You know what? Could be we're not having children. Maybe I should daven. Of course not. Of course he davened. Every day he davened for children. But after these 10 years, he saw that his wife was different than any other woman that's just not having children yet. He saw, it was 10 years already, he saw she was an akara, she was barren. So now the tefillah had to be, Hashem, now I have to ask for a nes already. Now I have to ask to open up the womb of someone who really it's impossible for her to have children. So what Rashi is saying is now that he knew Yoda Shiakara, now Vispala, now he davened for that. Because everyone has to be very specific in tefillah. Because when we're specific in tefillah, then when Hashem will hear our tefillahs and will answer us, we will say, it is Hashem that brought this Yeshua. And the Torah knows that this is a very hard aspect for us to maintain. And even after we went out of Mitzrayim, and even after Moshe Rabbeinu taught us that lesson that it's not him, and don't give all the praise to him, but attribute everything to Hashem, because it was Lo Yadei Malach, Lo Yadei Sarav, Lo Yadei Shliach, it was Hashem B'Chvoide V'Atzmai. Hashem knew, you know, when we become too comfortable in our own lives and things are going well, and we become complacent, then we're going to forget about that. And we're going to take the credit a little bit away from Hashem and give it a little bit to ourselves. And the Pesukim in Parashas Ekev, when it tells us that you should be careful about this, it says, Yishomer lecha. Be careful, pentishkach es Hashem aleikecha. You may forget about Hashem. The vilti shmar mitzvayisav u'mishpatav u'chukayisav ha'shanoichi mitzavach ha'ayim. When will this happen? Pentechal v'savata, because you're going to eat, you'll be satisfied. Uvatim teivim timni v'yashavti, you'll have nice homes, you'll have a nice business. V'rom levavecha, your heart will start swelling. Because things are good, you become comfortable, and that will lead to v'shochachta es Hashem aleikecha. You'll forget about Hashem. I mean, is anyone here that forgets Hashem? Is anyone in the room here that doesn't remember Hashem, doesn't think about Hashem? So what does the Torah say? You're going to forget about Hashem? Well, we're not going to do mitzvahs anymore. Says the pasuk v'shochachta Hashem aleikecha ha'moitziyacha me'eretz Mitzrayim v'beis avodim. And you're going to forget all the lessons of Yetzias Mitzrayim. And what is that? you're going to say, V'amarta bilvavecha. It won't even be that we'll express. We're not going to tell even our friends. We're going to say it in our own hearts. In our minds, we're going to think this. V'amarta bilvavecha chaychi v'oitzim yadi osu le'yisachai l'azeh. This success that I have been blessed with, listen, I have a good cup. I know how to talk to people. I know how to convince people. I know how to make a deal. I know everything we can attribute the success to ourselves. And that's called forgetting about Hashem. Cutting Hashem out of the picture, the Torah says that's forgetting about Hashem. We do the mitzvahs, we daven, you take the credit, you're forgetting about Hashem. And that's only v'amarta b'levavecha. You'll say, keichi v'yaitzim yad. V'zachar, the Torah says, v'zachar ta'asar Hashem alikach, you have to remember Hashem. How do you remember Hashem? Ki hu anis nacho koyach la'aseis choyal. He's the one that gives you this koyach. And there's a famous targum, the targum on that pasuk says, v'zidkar yos Hashem alikach, you should remember Hashem. Arei hu yoev lacho eitza l'miknei nichsin. He even gives you, in your mind, he gave you that advice. He gave you that good idea to buy this stock, or do that. Hashem gives you that idea. I have to take credit. I could take credit. Something that I did, something that I achieved, something that I was successful at. Hashem made it happen. I have to give credit to Hashem. The practical difference between someone who forgets about Hashem and thinks keich ve'etzim yadi, or on the other side of the coin, someone who's v'zocharta as Hashem alekech, who remembers Hashem, because it's Hashem who gives keach la'aseh Yisrael, could be described in the following scenario. You have two people who get up in the morning and they have 10 things on their agenda that they have to do. All sorts of things. Errands, and shopping, and cooking, and favors, and a chesed here, and running over here, and so many different things. But they made up this week, they're going to daven at least once a day, so they have to take care of that first, so they checked it off on the list. So, they daven, checked off, and now they start their day, we're ready to go. 9 more things to do. That's one way of doing it. And that's V'amarta b'levavecha k'ichi v'aitzim yadi asalei sachay lazer. Then there's the other person who gets him and say, Gevald, I have 10 things on my list to do. But thank goodness, the first thing is to daven. So I daven, Hashem, I got to run here, and it's going to be a time factor. Please let that go smoothly. And the second thing, and the third item, and the fourth item, and I throw my ganze pekel to HaKadosh
Baruch. Why put in the davening?
I'm sorry?
What part of the davening you put is the agenda?
So the truth is, the halacha is, the nirfa'enu, if you have someone specific to daven to needs a refuah, you can put it over there. If you have something about parnasa, you put in baruch aleinu. If you want to be able to pass the test, in atachayne. Everything that the bracha has to do with.
Oh, I need to have a chart.
Yeah, and at the end...
I never knew that.
Yeah. Another place is, if it's something that doesn't fit into, and you want to express it in your own words, you could do it in the middle of Shema Kaleinu, before Kiyat HaShemaya, or you could do it at the end of Shemana Esrei, before you take the 3 steps back. But that person will say, Hashem, I have a whole list of things I have to do, and you're going to either make them successful or not. So I'll take a few extra minutes of my davening, give everything, Hashlech al Hashem Yehavcha, the Pasuk says, throw your pekel to Hashem, and he'll take care of it. And then that's the attitude of a person to go.
Just to have it in mind without pronouncing it with your mouth?
No, it's better to say it out. Especially the way we're saying it, a person has to articulate what he needs. The things that he has on the list he has
but
to do.
And
Atachonen.
When are you?
Right before Baruch.
How you can articulate? Can you explain? For example?
In English or Hebrew, whatever language you speak. Hashem speaks all languages.
In between the end of the Baruch.
Before Baruch.
I can make a hefsek and do my own?
Yeah.
In each bracha like this?
Yeah, but it has to be...
There is a book which tells you?
What kinds of things go under which bracha?
Exactly. To sort out on my list.
But it says there's a heading. Look at the article. There's a heading to each bracha, what it talks about.
Article.
Yeah, sure. Yeah. The bracha on healing, the bracha on parnasa, the bracha on intellect. Gives you the whole list.
How about making a shidduch?
Yeah, what about shmack olenu maybe?
Yeah, some things you have to find. Some things you have to find. For example, there's a question that was asked by Rabbi Foyer. Rabbi Foyer wrote a whole book on Shemona Esrei. It's a good book. You can get that book. He probably has things in it. And he says, isn't that amazing that something that everybody dies for, and that is to have children, you don't find the Shemona Esrei. To have parnasa, you have to... to have wisdom that you have, to be healed that you have, everything you have, no mention of having children. So he says over in the name of a Hasidic Rebbe that actually there is a bracha that mentions that also. Which bracha? No, you'll never guess. Unless you're Hasidic. The bracha of Allah Tzadikim. Allah Tzadikim, Allah Chasidim, Yazik Neyam, Shere Samcha Beis Hashem. Apalait Das Beis Sefrem. Yalkeir Yat Tzadik Valenu. Yamurach Amech Hashem Elokeinu. V'sein, Sachar Toiv, L'chol Abaitchim, B'Shimcha Bemes. Give good rewards. Sachar Toiv for all those that have trust in you. Sachar Toiv, based on a passing of Tehillim, is going on children. Hinei Nachlas Hashem Privaten, and Sachar Toiv is in that pasuk. I don't recall the pasuk by heart. In there, we're asking the saint Sachar Toiv for who? L'chala beitchem b'shimcha bemes. It takes bitachin on the part of the person.
But it's not the only way to get children.
No. But I'm saying in that bracha, there's an allusion to that, so one could have kavana for that as well. The truth is, I'll tell you another secret. What time do you have to leave?
I'm fine.
Oh, your eyes not to me. I'll tell you another secret. There is one bracha that is very general for any yeshua that a person needs. Which bracha is that? It's before Shema Kolel. It's after Magen Avraham.
Okay, no.
It's the bracha of Es Tzemach David Avdecho Mehera Tatzmiach. What does that have to do with that? That's asking for the Gula. That's asking that Mashiach should come. Okay? But the Arizal says, and the Chofetz Chaim quotes this Arizal as well as other people, the Arizal says that any tzara that a person is in, that he needs a Yeshua for, when he says, Ki lishuasecha, kivinu kol hayayim, he should have that in mind. Because really, Ki lishuasecha, what is that saying? One way of understanding it is because for your salvation, for me, kivino kolayim, we long and we hope for every day and all day. So a person can insert in his kavana then, I need this particular Yeshua, for this Yeshua that you're going to bring, I long for all day. But it's really deeper than that, because every tzara that a person is in, the Gemara tells us in Sanhedrin that if a person is hurt, Hashem says, I am hurt too. If a person has a headache, Hashem says, my head hurts. If a person's leg hurts, Hashem says, my leg hurts. If a person says, I'm hurt because I need this Yeshua, Hashem says, that's my problem also. So a person really is davening, Ki lishuascha, Hashem, this is your tzara. So I'm looking for your Yeshua. I want you to bring your own Yeshua. Ki lishuascha, kivina kalayim. Chafetz Chaim says, this is a segula. That if one has in mind and has the proper kavana then that the Yeshua is only in the hands of Hashem and he has in mind by those words Ki lishuas kivina kol hayayim, that is a segula to have a Yeshua from that tzar. But a person has to be careful because the greater that your davening will become and the greater your emunah and bitachon will become, so you're held to a much higher standard. And that's the way it is. I know, but people are always scared to be a tzaddik because they don't want Hashem to test them out. Because Hashem tests tzaddikim. Let me stay not such a tzaddik, and Hashem will test me out. And we see this very clearly by again Moshe Rabbeinu. There is again in Parshas Chukas is a famous episode, which the Rishonim grapple about to understand the pshat in what was going on at this story. We all know the story that Moshe Rabbeinu was supposed to speak to the rock. And instead, he hit the rock. Terrible. For that, he did not merit to go into Eretz Yisrael. Yeah. Everybody has been Eretz Yisrael? At least once? Moshe Rabbeinu never went Eretz Yisrael.
He's you.
Why? Because he hit the rock instead of speaking to the rock. It's baffling. This is what, because the Ramban, so much so that he's bothered, the Ramban over there says he found 5 different explanations to why this was considered a sin on the part of Moshe Rabbeinu. And he says the best pshat is that of Rabbeinu Chanan. What does Rabbeinu Chanan say? He says, Ki hachet hu, the sin was Amram, the fact that Moshe and Aaron said, they called together all of Bnei Yisrael, and they said in a dramatic way, really leading up to the fact that Hashem is going to perform a neis over here, so Hashem will make a miracle that water will come rushing out of this rock, and they wanted to dramatize that, and they wanted to say, do you think water could come out of this rock? But what was the words that they said? The words they said was, Hamin hasela hazeh noitzi lochem moim. Can we take water out of such a rock? Of course not, but yet Hashem will bring water. And Rabbeinu Chanan says that they should not have used those words. They should not have said, can we take out water from it? We? They're taking as if they can do it. They should have said, Hamin hasela hazeh yoitzi Hashem lochem moim. So Moshe Rabbeinu and Aaron HaKohen were held to this standard. That even if the words that they chose to use in describing what was going to happen, instead of saying, can Hashem do this? And then of course he will do it. They said, can we take out water from such a rock? And you'll see it will be done. And that's considered a chait of the highest caliber for people who are of the highest caliber. There was once a story about a person who was very, very sick. And the doctors didn't think that there would be any hope for this person. So the person went around with some family members and decided to get a bracha from this great person and this great Hasidish Rebbe and another Hasidish Rebbe. And they heard this person gives out big brachas for sick people. And to him also, and he went to this Rosh Hashiva and he went to this Rebbe. Went to all different people, he got all the brachas. And then he had a miraculous recovery. Completely healed. It was amazing. He made a Suda Saida, it was tremendous. And then if you look into every small shtibel or shul or yeshiva that this person went around to, all of the chasidim and the talmidim and the Balabatim of these people who gave out the brachas were all fighting about it. It was our Rebbe's bracha that made him. No, it was our. And they were all fighting about it. So finally, one chassid went over to his Rebbe and he says, Rebbe, between me and you, tell me, which one really gave the bracha that healed? So the Rebbe said, I'll tell you the truth. Really, Hashem did it. But he doesn't have any chassidim. He has no one to argue on his. Oh, was that shit? No, was it? It's this Rebbe, it was my Rebbe. And that's part of the problem that we have. And that's the Torah says, Vishachachta Hashem Lekecha. You forget about it. The Gemara says, the Gemara in Sanhedrin tells us, Ein Ben David Bo Achenes Yashim and Agu'ula. Very strange Gemara. Ben David Mashiach will not come until we give up hope that there will be redemption. It's very strange because one of the 13 principles of faith that Rambam teaches us is Animamin Bemur Shalema Bivyasa Mashiach Vyakavish Mameya Akakalibuchayim Shayavai. There's a mitzvah, there's a chiv, an obligation to long for the coming of Mashiach every day. Certainly I have to believe that it could come every day. And here it says, Hashem won't bring the gula until we lose hope. We say, forget about it. We're here forever. It's not going to happen. How could that be? How could that be that Hashem will first bring the gula when we don't even think there will be a gula? So that can't be the pshat, obviously. So Rabbi Yaakov Kamenetsky says that's not what the Gemara means. This is the way we have to understand what the Gemara is saying. Hashem will not bring the Geula, ad shenisyashu min ha-Geula, till we give up hope for thinking that the Geula will come through this person, or through those people, or through that politician, or this president, or this prime minister, or this soldier, or this army. When we give up hope that it's going to be in the hands of anybody else, and we're only going to hope for the salvation to come from Hashem, Hashem says that I could bring the Geula. But so long as you're still attributing the Geula, because we have this, we have the might, or we have a friend, or we have the power, Hashem says I can't bring Geula. Because then when the Geula will come, you will not say, Oimer Dava B'Shem Oimer. When Klal Yisrael will be at a stage where it's called Oimer Dava B'Shem Oimer, we have this Midah that we attribute everything to the source, maybe Geula Loyal Hashem says, now I could bring the Geula. With these people I could bring the Geula. Again, to connect our Purim and Pesach stories, we see this very clear by the attitude that Esther Hamalka had. Esther, who possessed this Midah, as Maral tells us, she did something, as we know in the Megillah, that tells us she invited Haman to a party. Why did she invite Haman to a party? So there's several reasons given in the Gemara. According to the opinion of Rav Nechemia, it says that why did she invite Haman to the party? Kedei shelo yomru Yisrael, achos lanu yesh lanu beveis hamelech. We have a sister in the palace, v'yasichu daita menarachem. Why did Esther invite Haman? So we read the story, it was just to get him to come, and to finally put him in his place in front of Ahasuerus. There's another way of looking at that. In the eyes of Bnei Yisrael, Haman's the enemy. He's the arch enemy, he's the one who wants to annihilate us. And Esther, the Jew in secret, undercover, all of a sudden, the papers go out, and it says the queen has invited Haman to a special private banquet with her and the king. And Bnei Yisrael say, whoa, what's going on over here? What's going on? Esther's inviting Haman. He's the archenemy. How could she be friendly with him? It was to get us to realize what's going on. I thought we had a friend in the palace. And Esther did this specifically for this reason. Don't think that you have a friend in the palace. Don't think you have some politician you can rely on. I'm going to invite Haman so that the Jews should start davening better. Lo yasichu daitem erachem, they should not, chas v'sholem, stop davening for the Yeshua that they need against this gezerah of Haman. So here she invited him to the palace. The same thing happened many years before that in Mitzrayim. We say a passage in the Haggadah, as is the derech of the Baal Haggadah, he brings psukim from Parshas Kisavai, and then connects them with the psukim in Parshas Shemais, where the story actually took place. And there's a pasuk we say, V'anitzak el Hashem elokei aviseinu. We're going through the story, we're in Mitzrayim, and finally we dive in, V'anitzak, we cried out to Hashem elokei aviseinu, and Hashem saved us. Where do we see this happen, that they dive in to Hashem? As it says in Shemais, and it was when they were there many days in Mitzrayim. And finally, the king of Mitzrayim died. And the Jews moaned from the tremendous workload. And they dive in and their tefillos went up to Hashem. What's the connection between the king died and they moaned from the work and they dive in? What does one have to do? So the king died. We know they were in Egypt for many, many years. They were there 200 years working and in slavery. What does one thing have to do with the other? Says Rabbi Yisrael Mivolozhin, because the Jews thought, oh, you know what? It's this terrible king that's giving us all these problems. That's why we are here in slavery. That's why we're in bondage and we're back-breaking labor, because of this terrible king who's doing it. But when he dies, we'll finally be freed. And inside the Jews, oh, Baruch Hashem, everything's finished. The Yeshua is here already because the king has died. And you know what? Nothing changed. The Avodah was still backbreaking. They still moaned and they said, you know what? We made a mistake. We thought it was because of this king. We thought it was Arafat giving us all the problems. And you know what? He died and we're still in the same predicament we was before. And we thought it was Saddam Hussein that's giving us all the trouble. Ha! He's hanged! Look at that! And you know what? We're still in the same matzav as we were before. And it'll be Ahmad Dinjad, and it'll be another one, there'll be another Haman, and they'll keep coming. Shabachol dar vadar aimdam alayna l'chal eseinu. Until when? Until we realize, you know what? It's not Pari, and it's not Haman, and it's not Ahmad Dinjad. It's Vayarichu ben Yisrael men avayda v'at hashav asum alakim. Until we nisyashu ben ayuhula, until we give up hope that this person will save us, or this is the reason why we're in Goldos, till we come to that point, we will not have Gula. When we finally come to the realization, as they did in Mitzrayim, and there was Vatal Shavasa Alalekim, they davened to Hashem. When we have that mindset, and that mindset comes from every day of davening, because of the 10 things that I have to do, who's going to do them? Well, it's either I do them, or Hashem will do them, and using me as a pawn. If I feel that way, Hashem says, that's a person who possesses this midah, that person will be the Abdei Geula. Because that person, when I bring back down the Bayis HaShlishi, when I bring the Bayis HaShlishi down, will not take out his digital camera to take a picture of it, but instead will say, Hagdol Hashem Ki Tov Ki Leilam Chasdai. That is how we have to understand the connection between Purim and Pesach. That's how the Geula happened in Pesach. That's how the Geula happened in Purim. And that's how the final Geula will come. The Medrash tells us, Ve'irastech li be'emuna, that Hashem betroths us with Emuna, that we are not freed from any galus except with the schus of Emuna. We were only freed from Mitzrayim al b'schus Emuna shnema v'yayim in Hashem. We're only freed from Geula when we finally believe that it's only Hashem that can bring the Geula.